Hi, I'm Brad Hunt. I live up in upstate New York, actually, on the shores of Lake Ontario, where I'm looking at it right now. And my relationship with WNCW goes back almost 30 years. I've been working music to the radio station, and my position is an independent promoter, and prior to that with a label. But it's been a great relationship, and it's been a lot of fun, a lot of different people over the years. So it's nice to be in a position to be able to talk about 50 years ago, the Woodstock celebration, and being in upstate New York for that particular celebration. The question is about where I was during that particular period of time and what I was doing. It was a summer before my junior year in college. I was working construction, actually. My uncle had got me a job in Middletown, New York. So I was at the initial epicenter of where the festival was supposed to be, actually. The original place was in the town of Wallkill, which was literally 5 miles from where I lived. But then the town of Wallkill kind of looked at it and said, maybe not. I don't think we're probably prepared for this at all. So that's when the great search went on, and then ultimately wound up in White Lake. When I ultimately had put together this cast of characters that was going to join me to go up to Woodstock, which was about, or up to the Woodstock Festival up in White Lake, which is about an hour, or a little bit over an hour from where I live, we were prepared for absolutely nothing. But we wound up going up actually pretty early that week, and wound up working, putting stuff together. I was working on with a construction crew, actually, that was putting together the concession stands up, and which didn't have many concessions for very long because it's just the number of people there. So it was, all in all, though, watching as this thing developed over a couple days from Tuesday until ultimately Thursday, and then Friday, the actual start of the festival, and just watching the humanity that hit that place was pretty interesting. And it was pretty, we used at the time, mind-blowing, just to continue to watch people come. We got totally prepared because there was this thing called Pop-Tarts that had just come up on the market a couple of years before, and we were able to buy a couple cases of Pop-Tarts, so you can tell we were totally prepared for the food situation. But ultimately, when you realized what was happening there, I don't know whether anybody actually even cared what you were eating or what you were going to have, because the music, once the music started, it just didn't stop. I mean, there was an occasional break, and there's always this misconception about the fact that, because the movie doesn't really tell the sequence of when the rain came. I mean, the huge storm did not happen until late on Sunday afternoon, but it started raining about midnight on Friday night, and rained a good portion of the day Saturday until Saturday afternoon. And it wasn't a hard rain. It wasn't like a tremendous storm. And the other thing is, we were in it was a cow pasture. Which had been a cow pasture until about 3 weeks before the event. And one of the things you can do is you can cut a cow pasture all day and all night, but it's a cow pasture. And it was, so it smelled like the cows, and it's, and the mix of the mud and everything else. But as far as trying to find shelter at night to go, and it wasn't one of the things that you did. We just stayed in place. And you just lived with the reality that you were going to get wet. And you were awestruck by, once again, the music as it was happening before you. There was a question about, do you compare it to anything that happened before? Well, Atlantic City a couple of weeks before had been a big crowd, but this is 500,000 people. I mean, I didn't know at the time it was 500,000, but all I know is I hadn't seen that many people in one place ever. And also the fact that I think one of the things that hit everybody in the midst of discomfort and everything else over the rain and lack of food and lack of sleep and everything else, you didn't see anybody taking swings at anybody else. It was, peace, love, and happiness. Not necessarily always. I mean, there was, somebody who would say something, you'd get the my way or get the heck out of my way or something. But the reality was everybody was focused on one thing, which was the music, and that was it. And it was something that this was probably the defining moment to me that it was an event that I couldn't share what happened with my parents, because obviously nothing had ever happened like this. I really even couldn't share it with my older siblings because they had never gone through a situation like this. I mean, you listen to the cover, you listen to Beach Boy records and Joan Baez records on your stereo. It wasn't like one of these deals where you went out and sat in a field for 3 or 4 days and listened to music. So I think as far as defining and changing, you know, we talk about certain things changing the world. Well, this literally changed the world. I mean, it was a whole different way of seeing music, communicating with one another. And I didn't get out of there, by the way, until after everything was done on Monday, rather, because of the fact that it was parked too close, so I couldn't leave. So literally, I saw everything from one end to the other, and there were certain things that just blew my mind. Santana was, despite the fact that I had seen him at an earlier festival with a shorter set, it was mind-boggling. I mean, they were great. Richie Havens to open everything up was great. I mean, just everything across the board, would I do it again? Probably. And probably almost did, but it was, what sucked was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but at the same time, it defined what we did forever. So I actually did get a paycheck for working for the 4 days before the festival actually started, before the music actually started. And I was reminded, I have a younger sister whose birthday was recently, and we were talking about it. She reminded me, and I said, oh, my God. I said, you know what? I actually know where that is. After she reminded me. So I still have it around. It was in with a bunch of photos from that period of time as well. So, I had a beard, which I still have today, but it was much longer and different at the time. But I still do have the paycheck, partial cash, and from Woodstock Enterprises. So that was my one souvenir that I took away from the event, along with a new pair of sneakers because I lost my sneakers in the mud. And there was another pair sitting there someplace. So somebody didn't have shoes, but I did. I'm still I'm fortunate. Over the years, I've been I became friends with Artie Kornfeld, who Artie was along with Michael Lang was one of the organizers of the event, well noted in the movie and et cetera. And Artie, unfortunately, his health is not good today. But it's been one of those things over the years where it's been anything you didn't remember. Particularly about the event, you could always ask Artie about. So he lives down in South Florida now, and he's constantly remembering how much money they lost in this particular event. They were bankrupt actually until the movie and the soundtrack came out, which was their big saving grace in this particular case. But yeah, Artie is still. Artie's still around, and I'm sure he'll be thinking about this next week when this event comes around to its 50th, and he'll be amazed like everybody else that we're still here 50 years later.